In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So the son has wandered far from home. He has lived as if his father were dead, having collected his inheritance prematurely. And he has squandered this inheritance in reckless living, to the point that he has sunk to the depths of misery, that the very pigs that he feeds, he now longs to be fed with that same food. And then the son thinks to himself what a father he has, and so he begins to return back to his father, but he seeks not to be a son, but rather a servant. But the father will have nothing of it. He returns to his son, and he runs to his son, and he bowls his son over, and he orders the best robe and a ring and shoes to be put on him, and then a grand feast to be celebrated. The great fattened calf has been slaughtered, for now his son, who was dead, is found, is alive. You know the story well. It is unconditional forgiveness at its most core. It is peace, and it is Advent. It plays this story out quite often through the webs that we weave in our sinful life and world, and it is joyfully unraveled in the Christian church daily and richly as this Christian church forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. The reunion of a son to his father without anger, without retribution, without scolding, that is amazing. That is the sort of thing that the evangelist St. Luke, he loves. He delights to recount how those who are outcast, those who are far off, are now near and embraced by God the Father. This is just sort of the thing that you and I need to hear, because you and I know what it's like to be and are an outcast, to be alienated from others. We should ponder this over and over again, for this is the kind of God and Father that we have. That through His Word, He causes repentance in our hearts, and even more joyfully, He embraces us with His love and His forgiveness. So we hear in the beloved account of Saint Luke's, narration of Christ's nativity, that the angel of the Lord sound forth in this cold and dark night, "Behold, I bring you good news." And this good news is of great joy. For unto you in the city of David is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This good news is quite personal. The angel speaks, as you know, to first a select group of shepherds and says that the Christ is born for you. The message is echoed by the heavenly host, who prays God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among mankind with whom He is well pleased." The peace of God to you. And yet, as I mentioned on Thanksgiving Eve and Day, this peace that comes into our ears and our life seems so foreign to us because we do not experience it. The days of preparation, especially preparing for the great Christmas, hardly seems peaceful in these days. There are all kinds of things to do. There are presents to buy, and there are pageants to attend, there's cookies to bake, and there are feasts to cook. There are trees to be lighted and decorated, and houses to be lighted and decorated. There are relatives and friends to entertain for. Mind you, this might all be while you're working a 40-hour work week and taking care of 3 children. And here you are sitting at another Advent midweek service to attend. And yet if you stop to think about it for a second, you might realize that it's not your overstretched schedule that is robbing you of God's peace. Rather, you are robbed by that peace by the absence of certain people. That there are family members that you used to spend these days with. But now, either they have died, they have moved away, even worse, you very well may be estranged from them. They said things that they shouldn't have, and you said things back to them that you shouldn't have said either. And painfully, you found out that the world was wrong when it said that time would heal all wounds, or that this magical time of Christmas would make instant family, as all the commercials seem to suggest. But while others gather around loved ones, the cold shoulder and the silence from parents, from children, from siblings, from friends, make the absence of this peace all the more profound and clear. That is why God became man. This is why the Word became flesh, to give us peace in an unpeaceful and disturbed and broken life. For in the mouth and in his body, he comes with peace for this season and for all seasons. He brings peace precisely because we don't know the things that make for peace. We are apt to take on the role of Jerusalem, over whom Jesus weeps and is greatly perplexed, as he says, "Would you not, even you had known on this day the things that make for peace?" We know quite well the things that make for chaos, the things that make for brokenness. We don't know the things that make for peace. But thankfully, our Lord Jesus does. So the message of the angelic host to the shepherds is echoed as Jesus enters Jerusalem, as the crowds announce and praise God, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." There will be peace because Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, but not simply for the fact that he's coming into Jerusalem, but the fact that as he comes into Jerusalem, he knows the things which make for your peace. He knows that his life, that his blood, that his cross, that his death, that his resurrection are going to make for your peace. And the fruits of that peace that you will receive in your unpeaceful life, he also knows what those things are as well. His absolution, his baptism, his body, and his blood. That is why the beautiful birth of our God made flesh is proclaimed to the shepherds. Because God knows the things that make for peace. Though we may have romanticized the view of the shepherds in their fields watching their flocks by night, the ancient world did not. But the ancient world viewed the shepherds as lowly, despicable individuals. Ones who are not worthy of anything. The kind of folk that one would say they need good news. And whether it was lowly shepherds in their fields or the poor receiving this good news, one thing is for sure. You cannot claim that this good news is not for you You cannot claim that this good news is only for the world, but not for you. For no matter how lowly and poor in spirit you are, no matter what your life looks like or how you feel your life looks like, Christ knows the things that make for your peace. Peace in your body and peace in your soul together. So this Advent season, we rejoice and we ponder not just the miracle of Christ's birth, but rather also the scope and the depth of Christ's birth and the peace and the love and the forgiveness that it brings to us in the midst of our broken life. At his birth, the heavenly hosts say, "On earth, peace among mankind, with whom he is pleased." So there's a blessed connection with peace coming to earth, proclaimed by the heavenly host. We understand that peace has come to earth from heaven in the birth of Jesus, God's Son. "From heaven above to earth I come," as Martin Luther would have us sing. And then the angels say that this is for all mankind, and not for a select few, not just for everybody, but for you particularly. And then when Jesus enters Jerusalem to die, it goes the other direction. Now the crowds say, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They know what God has promised through Christ. Peace in heaven. That is to say that now there is peace between you and your heavenly Father. There is now peace between you, the prodigal, who has squandered your life in sinful living, and your heavenly Father, who has rushed and bowled you over with his Son's death and resurrection. You are at peace with the Father because of the Son's incarnation, death, and resurrection. Your sin that has alienated you from your Father has been overcome. You are no longer seeking to be a servant in your Father's house, but rather your Father adorns you as a son and daughter. And he sets before you a great feast that you might eat for the forgiveness of your sins. You had been a prodigal. I had been a prodigal. But in Christ, the Father receives you back in joy, without anger, without retribution, without scolding. That is unconditional forgiveness. That is peace. That is Advent. And this peace, it spills down to the earth. For you are not waiting to be at peace with your Heavenly Father. You are at peace with your Heavenly Father. You live here on earth in that peace, though it surpasses your understanding. Remember, Jesus knows the things that make for your peace. And not just your peace, but peace between you and your God. And also peace with those whom you have been alienated from. His peace is for you and for all the world, any and all estranged family and friends. Christ has forgiven them. Christ has forgiven you. For that is what makes for peace, Christ in the midst of sin. So also, our lives, though they are busy and though they are broken, they're overcome with joy and peace in the Advent season. Because we know, as the angels sing, there is great joy and there is great tidings that our Lord and Savior brings. Because he comes having salvation and righteousness for us. And this joy is not only for the shepherds, but it is also for you and it is for the entire world. The praise sounds forth not only from the shepherds, but also from you and all the world. For God's own Son has become a child. has been born a child, the Word has become flesh, has dwelt among us, and reconciled us unto our Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the